couvre-feu entre en vigueur. Le port du masque est de rigueur.
Beautiful listeners, that was Essa Pa with Demain est une autre nuit. You're here with Lady Radio on a gorgeous rainy night. I'm Ivana, and we're here with Claire, Krista, Callie, Elizabeth, Dora, Paulina, Cass, Jules, and Allison, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the UBC campus. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing tattoos and later on chatting live in the studio with Allison Woodward from The Fall, a Vancouver tattoo parlor, studio, gallery, and retail space located in the heart of downtown. Allison is going to give us a more personal account of what's going on in the parlor later on in the episode, but to start you off, we're going to play a few songs that we've been into these days. The first song on our playlist is Korean Food with Frankie. Actually, it's Frankie Cosmos, and the song is called Korean Food.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
If you or someone you know is experiencing challenges with mental health, there are lots of peer and professional resources available at UBC and in the community.
Kaleidoscope is a peer-run mental health support group on campus that meets every Monday, except statutory holidays, from 5 to 6 p.m. in Buchanan Building B, Room 307.
You can visit our website for updated meeting times and additional mental health resources at the-kaleidoscope.com.
If you live in Vancouver and need immediate help, please phone Mental Health Emergency Services at 604-874-7307 or 1-800-SUICIDE for the rest of British Columbia.
Good. Welcome back to Lady Radio. We're here with Allison Woodward from The Fall, a local tattoo parlor that aims to, in their own words, promote and develop a diverse residency of alternative and multimedia artists and foster interactions among those artists and commercial markets in a peer-based community setting. They work with artists to position mixed media, new forms, cutting edge, and alternative art as a vibrant part of the Canadian cultural consciousness. Very cool. So to start us off, Paulina has a few questions ready for you, Allison.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, Allison, you've been here at The Fall, being a tattoo artist since 2011. So what kind of moment did you have where you were like, I want to do this, you know, like what was a good moment for you?
Definitely when I was quite a bit younger, and you know those classes you have to take in high school where they're like, you have to take this test and decide your aptitude for your future career that you will have for the rest of your life. And I was constantly getting like, you're obviously going to be a graphic designer. You're really into art. You're going to be a graphic designer. And I was so not into that option. And so I just had one of those like light bulb moments where I was getting really, really into like alternative culture and being like, great opportunity of growing up with the internet in high school kind of thing and being able to look at all these like body modification blogs and things. I just had one of those moments where I was like, wait, someone does the tattoos. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could do the tattoos. And I was like 16 and didn't have any and didn't really know anyone who had tattoos. So I just sort of blindly went forward in the direction of that dream. And luckily everything worked out for me. But yeah, which is a longer story. Awesome. But yeah, it was more just the idea that you could work as an illustrator in a commercial sort of setting that wasn't necessarily traditional commercial illustration.
Right. That's awesome. So what was the process like in order to sort of get your foot into the tattoo industry?
Well, I actually held it at arm's length for a really long time. I was really afraid of doing something wrong or forming a bad habit or taking on a poor opportunity, which is something I don't recommend to anyone who's looking to get into the tattoo industry. Definitely engage, but I mean, be wary, but engage. And so I was really lucky at a time I was on student exchange, still in university at the time, and was showing artwork at the gallery that the Fall has. And so I gained a connection with them that way and showing through their gallery and found an ad that they had on their website looking for apprentices. And so I applied. And several months later, I got an email back saying that they were going to go through a round of interviews. And then going through a round of interviews like you would do for any job with a portfolio presentation later on, they were having a hard time deciding. So I had to do some drawing requirements and things like that too. A very intimidating person that, well, at the time was intimidating and later became my mentor was like, what do you hate to draw? Okay, draw me that. And I was like,
and so what did you end up drawing?
I was like, I hate realism and text and perspective. And he's like, cool, all those things. And it was not good. It was, yeah. But for whatever reason, they saw something in me and decided to continue to ask me to come on as an apprentice at their shop. And then that was, yeah, in 2011.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like mistakes, because I feel like everybody is subject to making mistakes in life in general. What was like, was there any time that you like made a mistake while making
tattoo? Oh yeah,
while doing
tattoo? Very much. That's one of those things that I feel is everyone like wants to know about tattoos, but your clients never necessarily want to ask that question while they're getting tattooed. Right. But it is, you're totally right. Everyone's human. You make mistakes. To answer the first part of the question, my first mistake was on my second tattoo. My very best friend has that. We've known each other since we were like, I don't know, 12 or so. And she has a bumblebee on her arm that I went to go and do the circle of its face because it's kind of like a vintage illustration. And with tattooing, you've got to be very careful about the direction of the needle because otherwise if you like swipe out, it's kind of like spinning out in a car or like on your bike or something like that. It doesn't catch and it'll just go kind of everywhere. And so I blew out the line, which is kind of when the ink goes way further than you want it to go in the skin, mm-hmm. along the bottom of the bumblebee's face. So she has this like real sick bumblebee with a chin strap beard tattoo now. And she thinks it's hilarious. I think I had my first heart attack. Like it was a terrifying moment for me, but we can laugh about it now. And yeah, so she has a bearded bumblebee tattoo that was my first ever messed up tattoo. Because I really think it's one of those things that as you go on with tattooing, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily make less mistakes. You get better at fixing them, for sure. Yeah.
It's a talent.
Like so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was one of your favorite pieces that you ever done? Like,
oh, that's a really hard question because, like, it's kind of, you know, apples and oranges. There's so many different things. I think potentially one of my most recent favorite pieces was on a person that I sort of reconnected with over time because we knew each other when we were growing up and then he moved out to Vancouver and started getting tattooed by me when I was really starting out. And so he's got a lot of early tattoos from me and then we sort of slowly worked our way down his arm. And one of the most recent pieces is probably the most successful color piece that I've ever done. And it's, yeah, just more so because that was a challenge that, you know, when you have something coming up in your life that you're like, I know I can do this. I'm still scared, but I know I can do this. And so it was one of those really rewarding times where it came out exactly as I was hoping and was like sort of the kind of work that I was hoping to be able to achieve. So that probably might be the most recent one, but they're all beautiful, unique snowflakes.
Okay. Was it the one of the raccoon with the colors?
That one is also one of my all-time favorites.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, the raccoon stealing the birthday cake will forever warm my heart. Like that one is amazing.
I saw that one on Instagram and it was awesome. Follow her feed. It's Allison Woodward, 1L, and it's awesome.
Thanks.
So what about using the body as like a canvas for your artistry is like what draws you to that?
I think it's actually sort of the idea that people aren't necessarily canvases, that they're people or their own people, and you work with them and they have hopes and needs and fears and things as well too. And as much as it's the drawings that I'm making for people, it's something that can be the most frustrating but also the most rewarding part of tattooing, is that you are working with a living, breathing person and they have to like consent to everything you're doing, and they're also like trusting you so immensely. Like, I have never felt trust before. Like, I've felt from some of my clients that are like, cool, you're gonna hurt me, let's do this, and you're like, wow, okay, sweet. So that I find like really rewarding, that people are willing to place that trust in me and that I'm gonna make something that they're gonna just carry for the rest of their life, unless they, you know, get it lasered off or covered up. But it's something that's kind of neat, that the work is yours to a certain extent, but it's not just yours, which is really cool. Because initially I was just drawn to tattooing for the sort of shallow side of, like, I was really interested in the aesthetic of the artwork, mm-hmm. and the possibilities that you could do things that you wouldn't necessarily justify in the same ways in other kinds of illustration. But I've really grown to appreciate the sort of interpersonal relationships and dynamics that you have through that, because it's unlike anything else in that kind of respect.
And so one thing I've always been thinking about is how the idea of women with tattoos, it's considered to be something that's like masculine, or in the past it's been something that hasn't been accepted as much. How do you think that this is like changed, and like in what way, and how do you think it's kind of managed to get to where it is now?
I think it's really interesting, because one thing, I mean, being a fan of history in general, which is something I've only got into in the last several years, is that when you look at something like tattooing over the time that humans have been around, because as long as we've been around, we've been tattooing each other, which is so cool. And it's really neat to look at different times in history and look at the different people and the different classes who were able to or allowed to get tattoos and things like that, because in different cultures it was different. You know, just different culturally, and sometimes a classist or sometimes a gendered thing. Whereas, yeah, thinking about like the Western tradition of tattooing has this kind of like underground slash sailors slash thing, which is definitely a male dominated kind of profession. So you'd see a lot of people getting tattooed in that way. But I would say that the majority of our clientele at the Fall is definitely women, for sure. And so it's interesting, because I also find that my clients bring a sort of a gendered idea of the way they think about themselves and having tattoos. And some of my coworkers bring an interesting kind of difference to that too, because I personally feel like you're allowed to get whatever tattoo you want to get, as long as it's not going to be outrightly hateful or hurtful to someone else. But it's, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see women be able to almost get more tattoos, because people subscribe to this kind of like fashion idea, which it isn't, but it is. It's a weird space it occupies. But yeah, I think sometimes because of that kind of stigma, people are more okay with people having like visible tattoos, because it's like a statement or something. Whereas, I mean, it depends where you're getting them, right? Like on your wrist or that kind of stuff. Or you see a lot of young women getting like the same tattoos, mm-hmm. which is also a weird phenomenon that's always happened and for everyone. But I think it definitely is kind of like the same thing like video games. Things that you assume are for a certain group are definitely being co-opted by other groups.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of your inspirations like in the tattoo world? Like, who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh man, I am so lucky to be surrounded by so many amazing, talented artists, both in Vancouver and then be able to look at the work of people internationally as well too. I'd say like some of the great people in Vancouver have been super helpful to me. Like Nomi Chi is fantastic and has been wonderful the entire time that I've been learning how to tattoo, and ever since I've met her. Renee Botha, who I work with, is a amazing powerhouse of work ethic, professionalism, and talent. One of those people that you meet, you're just like, how did you kind of be you? Like, how did I do that kind of thing? And yeah, tons of people like that. Like, there's almost too many to list in Vancouver. In terms of like internationally, some of my all-time favorite tattoo artist, Esther Garcia at Butterfat Studios in Chicago. Oh my goodness, like, so amazing. Some of those people that you find their work and you're like, well, should I just, like, quit now? Because, oh my God. But there's also Stephanie Brown, who she works with as well, too, is also phenomenal. And so many different tattoo artists like that around the world that are so great. Some other tattoo artists, there's one woman that works in, I believe, primarily New York, that does, I'm totally blanking on her name right now, but she's fantastic and does a lot of performative work with her tattooing and a lot of gallery work as well, too. And I'm super interested seeing people, Amanda Washob does things like that. And she, takes her work both from a skin context, also into a gallery context, as well as in a performative context. I remember once on her Instagram, I saw a call for participants for a performance she was going to do at the Met Museum, where she's like, I'd like three people who are willing to get 24 karat gold tattooed into the palms of their hands. And I was like, that sounds horrible, but also amazing. And so, yeah, she does some really cool things that really pushes, like, the boundaries of what you think of a tattoo artist as. And so, yeah, people like that are just phenomenal and super inspiring.
I feel like your work is, like, it's right on the par with Stephanie Brown and all these people. Seriously, like, your work has just gotten more and more beautiful, like, each time. It's been amazing since, like, the very beginning. But, like, following all of your work that you've been doing over the past couple of months, it's, like, so amazing. And
oh, gosh.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So the final question would be, what's your advice for someone who's trying to go to the tattoo industry?
That's actually, it's a question that you get a surprising amount. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, encourage people to pursue it for sure. I definitely wouldn't be where I am without the support of people who came before me in that kind of a way. I'd say definitely get tattooed. That was my biggest mistake, was holding it at an arm's length for the longest time. It wasn't so much a mistake, but I basically, like, you know, delayed happiness kind of thing, and didn't really get into it because I was nervous about how to approach the whole situation. But yeah, I mean, be mindful of your surroundings. If things seem sketchy, maybe don't participate in that. And just like anything, when you're looking at any jobs, there's, I think, an interesting change going on in the tattoo industry, because tattoo apprentices are basically unpaid interns. And sometimes that can be a really beneficial, like, trade for education situation. And sometimes that can be abusive, like, you're going to work for free until we tell you to leave kind of situation. So I'd say, yeah, be mindful, keep drawing, draw all the time, because you're going to have to all the time, all the drawing, all the sorts of things. And yeah, just get tattooed, talk to people, be kind, that kind of thing. And people will remember nice people, and they appreciate hard work for sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Allison, for coming in today. It was awesome. And yeah, you guys should all check out Allison's work on Instagram. It's Allison Woodward.
Allison Ann Woodward.
Allison Ann Woodward.
That's okay.
There you go. All right.
Amazing. Thanks so much, you guys. We've been excited to have you in here for a while. We're always lovingly admiring Paulina's tattoos, and it's wonderful to finally have a face to put to the name. The next song we're going to play is Outside by Tops. It's from their 2014 album, Picture You Staring.
You look at me as if you know what it's like in the shade. the most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could
dream we could start again. Tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. for A Little Bit of Soul with your host, Jade Park. A Little Bit of Soul plays primarily old recordings of jazz, swing, big band, blues, oldies, and Motown.
De ti, amor, no te vayas sin mí, que no ves que al partir todito destrozas en mí. Amor, por favor, no te vayas sin mí, que no puedo vivir un minuto alejado de ti.
Welcome back to Lady Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. That was No Te Vayas Sin Mi by Ivy Gourmet y Los Panchos. Seeing as we're chatting tattoos, what would be a tattoo story without all the juicy and gory and hard, fast details of how everybody got theirs, what they're planning to get. So now, seeing as we're here in the studio with everyone, and most of us do have tattoos, and definitely Allison is so well-versed and probably has so many stories, we're going to go around and chat a little bit about our cool experiences.
Well, first of all, Ivana, your Spanish accent is charming.
Oh,
I'm charmed.
You're too sweet.
I'm charmed from across the room.
Oh, man.
Allison and I were just having a little off-air discussion about the pain actually involved in tattooing, and she was telling me so it started from, like, Pauline was like, "Ah, that nipple piercing's hurt," and I was like, "No, they don't hurt that much." And Allison was like, "Actually, like, this guy that I know who has this entire just black all over his chest tattooed just told me that there is no pain and numbing cream." And I was like, "What? You can get your tattoo numbed?" And then I realized that things that prohibit Juliana from not getting really big tattoos are A, they're really expensive, generally speaking, if you want them done well. B, they take a lot of time. C, they hurt like fuck. I have one on my hip that took a while, and I was just telling Allison that basically my form of pain control when I was getting that tattoo, I got it 2 years ago. It's sort of like a Polynesian-y, flowery sort of deal. I need it fixed up, actually, because the tattoo artist, I just wanted it, like, plain black on white, but I was loving it, and I'm loving it, like, up to, like, 5 minutes before it's done, and then he's like, okay, almost done, like, I'm just adding, it was pretty much, I just asked him to, like, make me a design, and it was really cool. I was like, just fucking draw some, I don't know, I was 17, I was an idiot. And I'm loving it until, like, 5 minutes just before it's done. And then I look down, and he's added shading to it. And I'm like, no, like, I just wanted, like, pure black on white. And there's this fucked up, like, just, like, gross little, like, shaded parts. We didn't run a content warning, did we? Like, little shaded parts that go down. And I was, like, actually so miserable, actually. Like, I love all of it except for those. So at some point, I'm just going to get it filled in at some point. But I was just saying that during the process of that tattoo, that was about, like, an hour and a half, almost 2 hours of tattooing, I was just, like, biting my arm to try to, like, because half of it's on my ass, and, like, that's really sensitive territory. Like, it hurts, like, lots of needles in there, and, like, you're going over it to, like, fill in the lines, and so I'm just biting my arm to try to just, like, concentrate the pain in different areas of my body. And I was walking around town sort of the next day with just, with the guy that I was seeing at the time, and he was just freaking out because I had all these massive, like, splotches over my arm, and he's like, this is crazy, like, people are just gonna think that I'm beating you, like, this is totally insane, like, you gotta wear a sweater or something. And I was like, nah, like, whatever, like, I have a cool tattoo and I have all these cool bruises. I don't know, that's my stupid tattoo story to
and
start off, if anyone has a stupider
why
one.
I don't have any tattoos. That's why I don't have a single one.
What about that story does not make you want to get tattoos?
You know,
you
a
look
lot,
cool,
a
you
lot
walk
does.
Around with bruises.
I'll be honest, a lot of that story makes me want to go right look now and set up an appointment with Allison.
No,
but
right?
There are other
hey, she's right here.
Too. Yeah.
I have a hilarious story about tattoo pain.
Yo.
So I have one very, very tiny stick and poke tattoo. Like, it's, like, obscene. It's, like, a tattoo. But it's on my wrist, which is, like, a pretty, like, thin, sensitive.
It's a little C. It's adorable.
Thank you. It's for my sister. Her name begins with a letter C. That's beside the point. The point is, I was sitting there, like, getting it done, and it hurt so much, and I was like, this is fine. Like, this is so fine. I was like, I can do this. And, like, apparently my face just went, like, white, and I was sweating so much, and halfway through I was like, I need to go. And I, like, got up. I went to the bathroom. I took a huge defecation session, came right back and went back at it, and it was fine. It was good. And that's, like, that's just, like, how my body was like, you need to flush everything.
I was gonna say that I don't think I'm ever gonna get a tattoo because I'm too afraid. I don't really like needles, so I feel like it'd just be not a good activity for me. But then I had this dream where I got, like, my whole back was, like, a big square of filled in red or something. And I, like, was crying in the dream, like, no. So, okay. I think it represents my fear of, like, commitment and permanency.
Kelly,
that's
I'm just going to come here.
Psychoanalytical at this point.
Just going to come here and say that I think Kelly would be a prime candidate for those, like, curvy under the boob tattoos.
Oh,
I think you would do super well.
Yes,
I think
100%.
You should get, like, secret under boob tattoos.
All right, and it would, Miley, like, Cyrus.
Yeah, but I also feel
but more,
like,
secret.
You would be able to, like, wear them. Like, you'd, like, make it, like, fashionable. You'd just be like, oh, look, check out. Just, like, of everyone, you have the fashion.
You could paint glitter around them when you were going out. You should see her face right now. I just convinced her. She's getting tattoos next week.
I think we should give someone a stick and poke right now. Do we have any volunteers? Yeah, anyone want to? I mean, I've never done it before, but if someone in here knows how. And
I've done it before. Do you guys want it?
It's fun.
You can tattoo Allison. We can give the tattoo.
Yeah, I have a question for you, actually. Do you tattoo yourself usually? Because I've heard that that's like a thing. Or do you like not trust yourself to do anything?
I actually we were just talking about that off air as well too. I did my first self tattoo just recently. I did a stick and poke on my thigh. I haven't ever electric tattooed myself. It's something that I really want to do. And actually, usually for apprentices, your first tattoo is often on yourself. It's a fairly traditional thing to be like, first one's on yourself. My mentor, I will never forget, said, you can't get new skin, you can get new friends. And I was like, okay, because I was like, man, I'm so, my mentor was Manny Landry. He's super fantastic. He works at Penny Black, and he's a phenomenally tattooed artist, or tattooed. He's also phenomenally tattooed. He's phenomenally talented. But he also was like, yeah, you know, you don't need to tattoo yourself. You can tattoo other people. But I was like, no, I'm scared. And, yeah.
What was the one that you did on yourself?
I have a little tooth.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a design ready to go that one day when I don't feel like leaving work right away as soon as I'm done and want to stick around, I've got a little cartoon of a lady riding a bicycle I really want to tattoo on myself. But we'll get there.
Do you prefer stick and poking or do you like the electric?
I've pretty much all the tattoos I've ever done, I've done one stick and poke in my entire time, and it's not really aligned with my career. It was more just a like, I want to know how this goes, because it's the analog version of what I usually do. So I've pretty much like 99.9 repeated electric for sure.
Do you usually trace it first, or you just kind of go freehand?
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of preparation involved in everything. I'm definitely one of those tattoo artists that the more that I know ahead of time, the more comfortable I am, for sure. So there's a lot of, usually I send my clients drawings beforehand, and usually it's like the day or so before, or as early as I can get it. We go through revisions if needed and that kind of thing. And then when they come in, print out a couple different sizes, we size it up to their body. Sometimes there's drawing involved or collaging involved to fit it on there. But yeah, you do that sort of temporary tattoo before you get a real tattoo part, and then everything's fitted on there. It's actually pretty rare to be a freehand tattoo artist. Some people do it, for sure. Some people freehand in the way that they just draw on the skin and then tattoo from there. Some people straight up just tattoo straight up.
Well, that's so many stick and pokes that you see. They're just like, it was supposed to be a triangle, but now it's like a piece of sushi on my arm. Does anybody have cute stick and pokes? I know, Krista, you have one.
I've got a heart on my left middle finger that one of my best friends gave to me. She actually stick and pokes a lot. It was my 21st birthday. I was in Brooklyn, and I had just had a lot of tequila. And I don't regret it one bit.
And it's like, it's the emoji, right?
Yeah, it's the emoji, the sparkle heart. Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah, it's just kind of like that special, like, magic moment.
But if you're regretting it halfway through and you're having your friend do it, it's awkward to be like, oh, you need to stop. This is hideous. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it happens.
That happened with our friend where both of them were drunk and it was supposed to be a circle and it just wasn't a circle. You know,
circles are hard when you're sticking poking. Yeah. I can attest.
So that was not a friendship ruiner, but a tense moment.
I know exactly who it was. We won't call them out on the air now just in case they're listening. But it's not the cutest.
Does anyone have like dream tattoos that you're planning on getting at some point?
I really want, I think that for now, most of my tattoos are actually going to be stick and pokes given to myself by, I have one, two, three stick and pokes that I gave myself, and I have the word rat on my foot that was given to me by someone else. And I just think that I'm going to keep going with the stick and poke aesthetic until I can get an appointment with this woman in San Francisco whose name is Rox, and she works at Two Spirit Tattoo, and she was honestly, I thought that I had sort of like a brief flirtation with the idea of being a stick and poke. I'm not that good like a visual artist though, or like I'm not that good at sort of drawing stuff on command apart from just like black and white shapes, which is why I was really into black work for a while, and so I was especially into Rox's artwork, and Rox does these amazing just like fluid, sometimes geometric forms, sometimes just sort of working with positive and negative space and the contours of the body to create these incredible designs. And so until I can get her or someone like her to tattoo. That's my dream. Just a big fucking black shape somewhere.
I am currently very happy with my tattoos. I have 3 in total right now, one of which is actually from Allison. I would say that it's actually the most meaningful one for me, just because it's 3 roses, and it's just a line work for them, so there's no shading. And I like it the most because it kind of reminds me, the 3 roses remind me of me, sort of. Just in the sense that they're a bit more like flowy, and they have sort of like wilting petals and like some leaves that are kind of like not as like perfect, you'd say. And so I feel like that's kind of just like me. And I like that I don't have to be defined by like a particular kind of flower, because it's a bit more, it's not like, it doesn't look like most rose tattoos, I'd say, so really like that one. But for the future, I think I'd like to get a red-colored tattoo. I don't really know what yet. I've been checking out Stephanie Brown in Chicago, and that's probably one day, several years from now, the next stop, so...
That, like, leads me actually to, like, a really lovely question. I don't know if anyone else wants to share, but, like, whoever does have, like, tattoos, like, what's kind of the meaning and thought process behind it?
Okay, I'll jump on. I have one. I only have one. It's on the back of my neck. It says, "No lies, just love." They are lyrics from a song by Bright Eyes, which has been like my favorite band for years. In the context of the song, he starts to talk about how his, I think it's brother's, child will be born soon. So the lyrics are, "So when your new eyes meet mine, you won't see no lies, just love." So for me, it's that idea of clarity. I did get it when I was 16. Like, I ran to the tattoo parlor and was like, I just knew I wanted it. I don't regret it. Sometimes I forget it's there, to be honest. But it would be ridiculous if I did say I regretted something with that kind of sentiment behind it. Looking ahead, I think that one of the next tattoos I would really, really like to get would be something that looks like a birthmark. I've been really, really into that idea, or a scar. I don't know, just kind of that natural look, I think, would be the next route I'd take.
How would you get something that looked like a birthmark?
Okay, so I...
you can be Allison's next mistake.
I've go through phases of being really into my horoscope. So, you know, thinking even of an Aries tattoo, just to have something small, just brown, kind of like... You could almost miss it if you're just kind of, your eyes are scanning me over. Just really subtle, you know, something that just... feels like it's natural.
You ever thought about scarification?
That sounds incredibly painful.
It looks incredibly painful and generally unpleasant, but I mean, I feel like you could just dig a chunk of skin out of yourself and get a pretty piece.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. I think
easy. We're all going to do a scarification. We're going to start a fund, a little coin jar in the lobby. And a couple months from now, we're
It'll
just going to...
It'll be a swear jar, and whoever swears online...
Exactly. Exactly. Here it comes. Well, guys, those are lovely stories and kind of traumatic as well, I guess, if this really goes through. We'll start that coin jar soon. But for now, we're going to play another song from our playlist. This one is called Descripción by Elia y Elizabeth. As soon as you have a Latina in the studio, I guess all you play is Spanish songs. I don't know. But here's Descripción.
Do, do. tu cabellera brillaba con el sol. La, 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 la. Tus verdes ojos con la luz del amor. A tú. Y tu sonrisa reía más que el mar. Tu respirar era como olas sin parar. A tú. Y tus oídos sentían el cantar. Tú. Tu dulce rostro mirando al mar. Descalzo sentado en la arena, con tu camisa canela. Oh, 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 tú. Tu pelo lo elevaba el viento, al igual que tu pensamiento. Oh, 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 tú. Tus manos tocaban las olas, querías cogértelas todas. Oh, 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 tú. Tú. Tu cabellera brillaba con el sol. Tus verdes ojos con la luz del amor. A tú. Y tu sonrisa reía más que el mar. Tú. Tu respirar era como olas sin parar. A tú. Y tus oídos sentían el cantar. Tú. Tu dulce rostro mirando al mar.
Welcome back to Lady Radio. That was Elia y Elizabeth with Descripción. So now we're going to play one more song.
Such Words by Ghostly Kisses.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Lady Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Have a lovely, lovely Friday evening.
Show. Sure.